Blessed to be with you, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Dave Pezzo joining us from the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. And Dave Pezzo attended the big show over the weekend. What were your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was well done, and it was fun. I was amazed. We were fortunate to go on Saturday because Friday they had, I guess he started late and they had some difficulties.
How inconsiderate of him.
Yeah, they had some difficulties.
To start late, yeah. Yeah, power outage, what, 20 minutes or something like that?
Well, there was a power outage and they just, I guess anyway, it was like 2 hours before, it didn't start till 9 o'clock, so.
Sure.
A little earlier the night after. We came a little bit later, so we didn't have to put up with all the lines. It was really quite something. So
you were with some of the rude people that come in, that people are in their seats and they have to move to let you in.
We had an end seat, so yeah, we did. Since somebody took over our seat, we did ask them to move, yes.
Well, what was that like?
Yeah, they moved.
Right.
They knew. Yeah, they moved on down. They were just spreading out.
They were spreading out in seats that weren't theirs.
Correct. Until other people showed up.
So from a business perspective, what do you make of, what was it, 80,000 people over 2 days, or was it 40,000? I mean,
yeah, it's,
there's a lot of things going back and forth. And I know you, Dave Pezzo, you don't like the fake news. So, 80,000 people, 90,000, 100,000 people. What was your estimate of this Mr. Brooks and his Amazon crew coming to town?
Yeah, I would think it was 40. I don't really know how many people fit on the football field, but that's the difference with a football game, is the stadium was full, and then you now have, instead of players on the field, you have fans on the field. And so there was a good number, so I'd have to say, without being a numbers expert, what is the capacity, 36,000 for Boise State? Something like that? And they had them. They had them full, and then you throw on the field, and there were thousands of people on the field. So
let me hit you from a branding perspective.
Yeah.
So you went to Saturday Night Show,
yes,
right?
Yep.
So that's the one where Garth Brooks grabbed the Bronco flag and ran around, and I don't know if he skipped or what he did, but something like that, right?
I remember him grabbing the flag and running around.
Right, he was running around the flag. So at one time, and you have been here for, thousands of years, this used to be a Vandal town. And I can remember talking to Dr. Custer along with Tommy Ahlquist, and he was talking about before 2007, before the Fiesta Bowl, the challenges that Boise State had of really being the thing in the town, which it is right now. Mm-hmm. And even though they had the blue, and even at the time, Dan Hawkins, as you know, John and Chris were all about Dan Hawkins, and he was all about them and you. He was starting to build a reputation even before the greatest game of all time.
Right.
So people are talking about who's this guy in Boise, Idaho with the Zen-like coaching philosophy. I remember reading about Dan Hawkins. But Dr. Custer was talking about the challenges of people in Boise or in Treasure Valley really adopting Boise State because everybody was a Vandal.
Yes. And to a degree that still has that. But yeah, it has. It's been a big shift.
So
this town used to be run by Idaho Vandals.
So if I'm, head of the Vandals or whatever, and I see Garth Brooks gallivanting around with a Boise State flag, which will probably be on, every college football show throughout the country, how do you counter Garth Brooks? I mean, that is pretty much game, set, match, at least initially.
Yeah.
But the Vandals aren't going to give up. So you think to yourself, how can you counter that from not a sports perspective, but a branding perspective?
Yeah, from a branding perspective, I don't know how they compete, honestly. You can't. You can't. They have a different situation up north. It's all the attorneys come from there. They have a good fraternity system. It's a different ball game for a college experience. And so they have a different, connection to their school. I think Boise State's still struggling with that, frankly. I don't see I think they're great. People go to the games. If we win, then people show up. If we don't, they don't show up. And they won't show up to the basketball games. I think that we don't have the connection here at Boise State, the depth of that connection to the college that most colleges enjoy with all the people that went there, all their alumni. So I think that it's a struggle for Boise State just as much as it is for University of Idaho as far as connecting, really deeply connecting to the community. There's the community of people that went to their school. University of Idaho gave up a long time ago pretending that they had some equivalent to a football team and could compete with them. They can't on the athletic field, and they kind of faded away on that. So I don't think they're going to be too offended that Garth Brooks in Boise, Idaho at BSU Stadium is going to run around with a flag.
All right, our friend Dave Petzl joining us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial, talking about the big event economically. I imagine it was huge. Not only did you have Garth Brooks, but you had his wife, Trisha Yearwood. You had all these vendors coming in. The last week, I was driving around Boise State, and people said, oh, they're coming in. So I took my vehicle over and drove around, and I said, what are these? There's like 8 trucks with nothing on it, nondescript big semis. The logistics of that. Now, you look at, over 80,000 people both nights.
Mm-hmm.
At what, 40, 50, 60 bucks a clip?
Or more.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you, and I think how it works is like you rent the stadium, so you cover the rent there, but to be able to afford that and to make profit on that, from a local perspective, how much money do you think was generated by that show?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. You know, I was thinking about that. I honestly, Kevin, I was thinking about that on the way in. Do you assume?
I knew you would be, yeah. Dave Petzl.
Are you thinking $100 a person when you kind of, you know, as far as economic impact, somebody buys a beer and they're like 10 bucks a piece. The stadium itself, Boise State getting the revenue there. All the people that are employed there, probably somewhere in that for an economic impact, probably even more. And so we're talking about, what is that, $80 million of impact? More? $100 million? I think it's more. And that's
all the
huge.
State getting the taxes and your beloved city of Boise getting their taxes, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's undoubtedly, it was a big... And I know people that came to town for this. Some stayed with friends, but some certainly were
some
in the restaurants and some were...
Some from California.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. Checking out the area.
Sure. Marking their territory, how much they can... kick out the people that live here.
Exactly. Right. It's just figuring out which street they're going to take over next.
Well, it is happening here. Dave Petzl joining us, KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. A couple other stories that is interesting. Are we seeing the end of Netflix? People love Netflix, but a few glitches over the years. One notably, continuing to raise subscriber subscriptions, number one. Number two, you've got Disney. They're losing The Office. They're also losing Friends. You've got more and more people getting into the Netflix business, Hulu and others. Their stock took a tumble last week.
Big hit. They actually, Kim, it's funny, we were talking about that, right? Right?
Yeah.
And talked about the fact that Netflix, since they have such a big global reach, the problem for them is going to be able to be raising costs in the future that I don't think they're going to go away because of competition, but they can't really raise their prices. That's not good. But at the same time, this was worse than that. They showed some 100,000, or I can't remember the exact number, people that actually dropped off their subscriptions, and they did it in many cases at a much higher level because in areas that they were raising prices. So people are price sensitive, more so than I thought at this point. And with more competition coming, Kevin, it doesn't look that great for Netflix. Certainly as far as the power they have, the unifying power they have for content, no, it's now going to be spread out. It should be a very interesting entertainment world over the next 5 years.
Well, $12 billion alone last year on content. Now, you and I sometimes, reluctantly, some of us, are hard on the radio business, the audio business. But comparatively speaking, could we see more fragmentation in television? I mean, you know, it used to be you'd have to buy the cable packages,
yep.
People cut the cords, and now all of a sudden it's almost like breaking up AT&T. People seem to be buying these streaming services almost as what they paid for cable. Your thoughts on television being fragmented even more?
I absolutely agree, Kevin, and the idea that the, you know, as soon as we're unbundling, like you said, snipping the cord, everything's changing out there. You used to have, 200 stations and 195 of them were nothing you would ever watch, and now we're going to be finding that people are going to be able to dial in exactly what they watch, pay for what they watch, and not pay for everything else. That's going to change a lot of things from, you know, the rifle channel to the archery channel, hunting, whatever it is, fishing, all those things that are kind of thrown in. Those stations are going to really struggle, I think, for subscribers, and we'll see about that. But it seems to me that a lot of those things will go away. That's too bad, because some of them might be upstarts that might be interesting down the road. But people are going to dial in what they want, not pay for what they don't want. And that, I think, is nothing but great for the consumer. It may be from an artistic perspective, not allow some startups in that we wish would be there someday. But at the same time, consumer choices should always reign supreme.
Well, you know, we forgot to mention YouTube as a big...
It's huge, isn't it? YouTube TV. I don't know anything about it, but I keep reading about it, yeah, as taking over.
And that allows just about anybody. I mean, do you have a YouTube channel yet?
I don't.
From the Petso Center?
Should I be YouTubing it?
Right, you could be doing that, and then on the weekends you could have Dave on the Loose, where you're riding around the Greenbelt and such, and... giving us proper tips on bike safety and such.
Absolutely.
Do you wear a helmet?
No.
Oh, Dave, we're so disappointed.
I know.
Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about the future of Amazon and what's the deal. The crazy, wacky Iranians are running amok in the Straits of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, and yet our gas prices haven't gone up. Will somebody alert the oil companies? And rolling right along on the right side, Dave Petso, Kevin Miller. Dave from the Petso Center, your calls, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So the Iranians are running amok, and yet the greedy, grubby oil companies haven't raised prices. However, this just in, oil prices rise amid Mideast tension. And, you take a look at what's going on in China. They're worried about their fuel prices as well. Let's see, higher oil gains, and there we are. People are worried about our future with China, but oil prices seem to be rising, but not like they used to.
No, and as a matter of fact, during the summer driving season, gas prices have come down. It's pretty crazy. We've actually seen down below now $3 in Idaho. That's good. That's better than it has been. But the point that's stunning to me is the idea of where, when I was growing up, we had a Middle East gas price, the Arab oil embargo back in the day, right? It was really an amazing thing, gas lines and all that.
That was in the 70s, Dave. A lot of people weren't around then.
I know. And then by the 80s, lots weren't, I know. That's unfortunate. They don't teach history, because what we're living with right now, living in this time, is absolutely stunning. Geopolitically, if there was where one-fifth of the oil, or it used to be more, would go through the Middle East.
Persian Gulf, yeah.
Straits and you were talking about, talking about some kind of a potential war there. We would see energy prices going up every single day. It would be very frightening, and it very, very much would affect the economy. And now we're actually seeing it decline in the midst of a bunch of saber rattling from the Iranians. It's really a change. And with that change comes not just energy independence and cheap gas for Americans, but the whole world. It changes the whole flow of where the power base is, and it's not in the Middle East anymore. We're not beholden to them just because we can get oil from them. They need to be good actors. It changes everything.
Dave Petso joining us here. We were talking about some of the things that you can do. Let's say you're a young person just getting started. You're a big fan of the Roth IRA, right?
Huge. Yeah, it's the biggest gift ever.
Why is that?
You can put money away, and it's never taxed again. Never. I mean, I talk about this all the time, and I just want to say it again. And anybody that wants this illustration, we're happy to send you a PDF. Just let us know your email address, and we'll be happy to send it to you so you can get your kids and grandkids to go, wow, that's pretty easy. But if you put a cup of coffee a day, which is $150 a month, $5 a day, into a Roth IRA, for 40 years, it would grow to $1.2 $1 million. It did. Through oil embargoes, through wars, through the 2008 financial crisis. Anything you want to make up is, or not make up, anything that happened, it was there. And that's just the S&P 500. That's not investing in Microsoft or something like that. That's quite a jump. And when you think about all that money then being tax-free, it would be incredible. So that's what the market did. And if you have the ability to put it away and never pay taxes on it again, it's a big, big difference.
So you've in the past said, you know, you would help people. Doesn't matter what
that's
it
true.
Is. You would set up a Roth IRA.
We still do, yeah.
So if someone says, hey, I listen to you on Kevin Miller, I'd like to set up a Roth IRA.
Yep.
Now, you can only do what, a Roth like once, right?
You open up a Roth and you keep adding to it.
But yep. You can only put in $6,000 a year, is that right? Or what?
It depends on your age, but yeah, $6,000 a year.
What if you're an old person?
Then you get seven.
Oof.
Look at that.
Now, $7,000, that doesn't really mean a lot, though.
It doesn't, but here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
If $150 a month, $1,800 a year is $1.2 million, then $6,000 a year is a lot, Kevin. It is a big deal if you start young. It's not a big deal if you're 50 years old and you need to try to get to $1 million. You can't.
Yeah,
young
hold
people,
on, hold on. Yeah. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
If you're maybe 51 years old and want to get to $1 million.
Then you better get going. It's better to light a candle in a dark room than to sit there and cuss the dark. It is. Uh-huh. And I'm serious. You got to get started. But when we talk to young people, say, well, I don't know if I can afford that, then do $100 and quit being stupid. What you're doing, this is something I don't want to get all fired up about this, but I got to say that
why not?
All of the evidence is
there.
We need
you fired up today.
All right.
No,
I'm
no
telling
more
you,
happy pets.
I lived it. I lived it. I watched new teachers coming into school district. I got my big break in Blaine County in the early 80s. And it was, and I watched young teachers come in. I don't know if I can do this. And fortunately, some of the older ones would say, just get started. And they'd start at $25 a month. And then I'd come back the next year. They'd get a little raise, and we'd do 35. And then we did 50. And then in the end, they're doing a couple $100 a month, and they're retiring. I watched it happen. I lived it. And these folks have hundreds of thousands of dollars because they started when they were young. If you wait until it all falls into place, you can't. You have to pay yourself first. All of these lessons are very true, but you have to put it away. And the thing about a Roth IRA is you put it away and you forget about it, and it just goes. Just start. Starting's the hard part, and it doesn't matter the amount of money. Start and then finish. That's all you have to do, and you get rich in America. This is the greatest time ever. I think can I take one more minute? What the heck is wrong with us? Everybody walks around talking about what's wrong in the world all the time instead of what's right. It's not just the news. Millennials walk around like there's some kind of I can't understand school teachers that teach that the world is ending instead of inspiring people to how great the world is. It's amazing to me how many young people I walk around and they're, why don't you invest? Well, what's the point? The earth is going to burn up and all this nonsense. When I was growing up, the same thing was taught. It was crazy. It was the world was going to be orange. It was going to be orange 20 years ago. It wasn't orange. And there's billions more people here. This is an amazing time. And all we have to do is move forward, invest, move forward, start businesses. That's my lesson of today.
You know, I had a chance to go to McCall over the weekend. Do you go to McCall a lot?
Not a lot, but I do enjoy it.
Right.
But apparently a lot of people do because it's really crowded.
Right. You know, you go to the Ridley's and you go to the lake and that sort of thing. It's fascinating, though. I always look at things. Maybe it's so many years with you, just from a business perspective, and just how big of a magnet McCall is for not only people here, but people in Washington and Oregon. I was talking to a guy from Portland, and he goes, yeah, our family vacations here every year. And I go, bro, you've got the Oregon coast right down the hall. He goes, no, there's something very special about McCall. And I'm thinking, okay, it is kind of touristy, but it's so compact mm-hmm. and you know, your thoughts on that. From a business perspective, how alluring is McCall? And, you know, we have Sun Valley as well.
Yep.
And, you know, so often we focus on what's going on here, but it's like, what, an hour and a half away, if you will. If you can go through the highway of death, you're great. You can survive that.
Well, and nowadays with all the traffic, it's a couple hours.
It is.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you could do it in an hour and a half, but maybe at midnight if you don't
hit
any
deer. No, I did 2 hours.
Deer.
I was driving slow and the winding roads and the kayakers next to me, and I'm going, man, my life is stressful enough here at the broadcast center. That was a life-changing experience driving up
there. That was death-defying,
huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that McCall is Idaho, and the way Coeur d'Alene is Idaho, and it is changing. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
And I think that's going to lose its allure, its special quality, because Idaho people are nice. They enjoy a conversation more than anywhere else I go. It's just, we're different. And it also has that rustic, nobody's trying to put on airs feel. You know, you go to places in California and bigger is better and all those things, and people are trying to upstage each other. We don't do that here. I mean, when people do that, we know they're not from here, right?
We do that a lot now with all the Californians.
Well, then we know they're not from here. But my point is, more the more we lose of that, the less real the places become. The thing I love so much about Idaho is you can run into people who are, I don't know, worth $50 million, $100 million. You would never know it. J.R. Simplot used to drive around in his old Lincoln, right? And he just really didn't. He was just a regular guy. So were all the industrialists that made this town great and built it and where we live now and all the parks and all those things. These were normal, nice people. And they really were. And that's the thing that Idaho is different, I think, in the places I visit, where people really are trying to help their community feel connected. And Kevin, yes, McCall will lose that one day, but that's what I think the person from Portland was saying.
Let me cut you off here. One more. We've only got about a minute left going over. But last week, Salter Medical Group, groundbreaking 10-mile crossing right there on 10 Mile, right in the heart of the Center Valley. Had a chance to catch up with our old friend Tommy Ahlquist. Salter is going to be a major player now. Not that they weren't. They were primarily in Canyon County.
Yep.
Remember, St. Luke's tried to acquire them. Lawsuits, antitrust, boom, blew that up. Now you've got another major medical player seemingly growing right now here in the Treasure Valley. What does that mean to consumers?
All good news. Another choice. Another non-hospital monopoly, supposedly not-for-profit monopoly, is now opening for business, expanding their opportunities for people. It'll drive costs down. More opportunities is better care, better cost. It's we win every way to Sunday on something like that.
I bet
it's
they just didn't ask you that question on Channel 7.
And you're right. I'll bet you also that the hospitals are not happy about it either. The monopoly is being broken up, and it'll continue to be broken up, in my opinion. Not because they're evil, awful people, but just like any government, they just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And if there's no competition, you just grow and grow and grow, and your product diminishes. So and it gets more and more expensive. So having this competition out there and the other business solutions coming, and I'd love to hear a podcast with you and Tommy talking about what the cutting edge business solutions are in medical care. I'd love to hear that.
Maybe we'll have you on for that. Dave Petzo, thank you. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, and welcome. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, if you would like to join. And if you also prefer email, feel free. But we've got about 20 minutes all to do it. We've got a recording in the second hour, Bob Carey and I. Just a general walk through the markets. A really great time with Bob. And he's just super. I think you're going to enjoy him very much. And would love to hear your comments. Shoot us an email. We'd love to hear if you'd like to hear more from Bob and others like him. But in the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about earnings. I don't like data and all that. I'm not going to dive into individual companies. What I'm going to talk about in general is this idea that earnings are slowing. The economy is slowing. We heard GDP. It's slower, better than expected, and doing well, but slower growth than it was. So are we going to slow down? Is the Fed going to cut rates? Yes, they will next week. So we're going to get a rate cut probably next week. I mean, the odds are overwhelming. The Fed's talking about it. It's not trying to be predictive here. It just really looks like they're going to cut rates. It's amazing when we look at how bad the news is. If you just read the news, you would think we were living in a depression, that our country was cut in half, and it's divided. But it's like it's never been there before. But it has in the 60s, 70s, just in my lifetime. But what we're faced with now is a negativity of all news all the time that I think is overwhelming. You know, we talk about that a lot. You know, it's do you have a Pollyannish view, or are you optimistic? If you a nicer way of saying it? Or are you a full-time, all-in, normal person? Because I think you have to be an optimist to have any clarity in a world that is nothing but negative news and nasty and political and just horrible. And being sold all the time with everything that's doomsday oriented. We all know you're not going to get market returns without risk. But there's radio shows and dinners you can go to and all these things that people are going to tell you that you can't because the rules are flimsy. Is that a nice way of saying that the bureaucrats aren't doing anything? The only way that people buy into stuff like that, because everybody knows that's not true. Everybody knows it. And everybody knows when they talk with somebody, it's, you know, you can't believe most of what they're saying. You don't know what you believe or you don't believe. Everybody knows you don't do business with people like that. But we want to because we're afraid. So we get stuck in this place where it really does matter what our attitude is every day as we look at the news. How are earnings? They're good. Period. How's the economy? Good. Period. You know, could things be better? Of course. Should we work on making things better? Of course. But I really thought about this, and I thought I'm going to maybe I need to start just kind of just throughout the week, not looking for any bad headlines, just here they are. And even in, I mean, the Wall Street Journal is the only decent newspaper anymore. I mean, it's so far and away the best one. Nothing's close. Even their headlines are negative, 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 almost all the time. But when you go over to a Bloomberg, which, you know, you get the alerts, and it's always negative. It's always, and I know they hate Trump, but I'll bet you anything it's going to be negative even when Trump isn't here. It's the world we live in that just screams for your attention. And the bloodier, the more negative, the more certain that we're all going to die type of headline, that's what gets the attention. That's what gets our attention. And so as we look at earnings, and you see stocks like Google jumping 100, almost 120 points in a day. Well, it's an expensive stock. That's fine. I just prefer to use the dollars than the percentage. It was over 10% gain. 10. Because it was so negative heading into the earnings report that having a good report just sent the stock flying. You say, well, yeah, well, but what about the companies that aren't hitting? Agreed. They're not all hitting. But instead of overanalyzing all the negative headlines, know this. The corporations are still doing well and making money. And when you hear about the trade war, understand this. Global trade is right at all-time highs. What does that mean? It means imports and exports of all companies. Countries around the world has the most activity ever. And then you would have to ask yourself, what trade war? You see, in spite of a lot of noise, in spite of a lot of jabber about how bad the trade war is, and it's not good, it's never good. But the question is it something that needs to be fought? And but understanding it, if it does need to be fought, if we do need to control China's bad behavior. If we do, if we accept the fact that that needs to be done, if we also then look at it with some clarity, if we're at all-time highs in trade, then we're doing fine survival-wise, aren't we? It's not killing global trade. Has growth slowed down? Maybe, but it's hard to measure. Is that true? It seems true. I agree. We probably have a little more uncertainty with that. But the doom and gloom surrounding it is just simply not met with the facts. But it never stops people from continuing to be purveyors of doom and gloom. It's there all the time. It's your choice to turn it on, but to pretend that we can turn it on and listen to all negative all the time and not have it affect us because somehow we think we're above that is simply not true. It affects us. And when it affects us, it affects our decisions. Do we invest? Do we invest all? Do we go all in? Isn't the market at all-time highs? We question it all. Instead of just riding this amazing economic horse, it just keeps plowing forward. Sometimes less is more, right? In fact, most of the time it is, isn't it? Less is more. Less data, less noise is more clarity. Diving in and trying to figure out what's wrong with every positive economic report may not help us. It's clear. You don't have to like the president. You don't have to like Republicans. You can be angry about whatever it is. But when we let politics affect our judgment of investing, does that make sense to anyone? That we should let our political beliefs affect our investment decisions? And really, you can flip that over and for anybody that didn't like Obama being in office. All the anti-business policies, yada, 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 more and more regulation, slowing the economy down, all true. And also true, corporations adjusted and were profitable. Anyway, so how do we do set that one out? Got to be careful of all those inputs. And it's amazing to see this week some great earnings reports. And overall, the economy, the GDP growing better than expected. But the headlines aren't that at all. Growth is slowing down. Earnings slowing down. This could be peak earnings, peak margins, on and on and on. This thing talked about for years. Why? Apparently negativity sells. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, feel free to give us a call at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. Once again, this is our final segment here live today as we're going to be doing a recording in the second hour. Bob Carey, who is a fabulous economist, wow, he is just terrific. I mean, just a great way of being able to put things clearly. And the other thing that I really like about it, though, is their sensible, common sense type approach to things. And really, the folks at First Trust and have been so right economically about what's going on with this economy. I just really have to give them credit for so much of the information that we have been able to get to you with charts and all those things of just trying to spell this out, really, this whole economic situation that we're in. And it's a great economic situation. I just wish the news would cover it, but they don't. And so these folks do, and I really just wanted to encourage you to listen in the second hour, just as super economist, Bob Carey is his name with First Trust. All right. You know, one of the things that, strikes me if I can just touch on this and that, because you never get this kind of news. I know you don't, all right? Mortgage delinquencies. Oh, really? I mean, whoever follows that headline, right? Well, you know what? Everybody does when delinquencies are up, right? Because you remember how many times since 2008, markets recovering now, and it's 09, things are getting better, maybe, a little bit. So that next shoe to drop is, fill in the blanks. Oh, when he is pulled away, market's going to tank. Oh, we're going to get the inflation bubble from all the printed money. It's just on and on and on and on. I mean, it's just all negative all the time. But it's really damaging. So many people, this bull market has left so many people in the dust. And we're talking about a market, by the way, that's gone up fourfold since then. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. Are you ready for this, though? Mortgage delinquencies. 30 days are down to 3.6%. Okay, the number isn't all that important because it doesn't have any context for us, right? Let's just go with, this is the lowest in over 20 years. You know, all the talk about, you know, mortgages are hard to get, people can't get them, and then when people are, here we go again, and then they point to this chart over here and show how delinquencies are going up, and it turns out it's the subprime auto sector, which is like nothing compared to the debt world. And the Pollyannas out there like me are going, listen, the consumer is in great shape. The debt levels, the household debt levels are good. What are we talking about here? The serious delinquencies, those are with 90 days or more, okay? Down to 1.3% of the homes. And the foreclosure rate, once again, well over 20-year lows at 0.4%. Consumers are in great shape. Great shape. It isn't any better. So when we're in this political season and we're hearing people talk about all those people who are left behind, because if you're not a billionaire, you must be getting really screwed by the American capitalist system. The comparison game. And I have politics to, you know, point out differences. But Lord knows, I certainly hope and pray that it's not what we're going to do for the rest of our lives is play a comparison game. He has more, so he has to take it away. She's prettier, make her uglier. I don't know what we do. Everybody's different. Different skills, different levels of income, different opportunities. See, everybody does have an opportunity. A fair opportunity. It seems to me that's what we ought to be celebrating, but we're not. And it affects our thinking when we play the comparison game. Delinquencies, mortgage delinquencies, earnings are fine. GDP is good. The employment situation, need I roll on, is fantastic. What's missing is the thoughtful contemplation of how things are. How they really are, not how we feel emotionally, not how we want it to be politically. But it makes us very fearful. Bad news all the time. Bad thinking. Continuing to embed those thoughts makes us very bad investors. You can't make people invest. But I think it's one of those things where when you watch people, young people especially, you know what, I'm not going to say that, all people really get and really see what a cup of coffee a day grows to. Just a cup of coffee a day, $5 a day for 40 years. And that 40 years hasn't been all sunshine and roses. It includes multiple 50% drops, multiple bear markets, that is a drop of 20% or more. Corrections, panics, fears, market crashes, 24% in a day in 1987. All that's in there. And it's $1.2 million. And you don't have to do anything except leave it alone. Now, isn't that amazing? But we can't when we fixate on everything broken. And what do you think? How can I invest now in the, when the market's at an all-time high? Because it always goes to a new all-time high. Even if tomorrow is a correction, it keeps rolling. That's why. But when people see that and get it, it just delights me. I can't help it. To watch people's eyes like, you got to be kidding. Can I get a copy of that? A cup of coffee a day for 40 years, $1.2 million. Who can't do this? We all can. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.